Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
This is Jeff Smith, the Rogue announcer, and this is Rogue Talk for March 30th, 2017, 2018, excuse me. I'm trying to travel back in time. So happy to be with you here today. I missed being here last week, which means I've got some news that goes back a little bit farther. And before we jump into all of that, I wanted to let you know that I promised an interview on the next show, and I don't have one for you today. The there's not less than five interviews that are hanging out there that we're trying to get scheduled for various reasons. We haven't been able to get them on, and so probably what will happen is they'll all be ready next week. I have two interviews already scheduled for next week, and I don't know if we'll air both of those for next week's show, or if we'll use one for one and one for another. You can a couple of things we can look forward to is talking to a couple of the administrators from the Rogue River Junior Senior High School, including a friend of the show, Jamie Wright. So that will be coming up in the next week or two. We'll also be talking to the current and the former head softball coaches at Rogue River High School. Of course, the father-daughter duo. And so we will, that is upcoming again, either in within the next 2 weeks, but there's also some more that we're working on. I won't mention one kind of big one I'm still waiting for confirmation on, and I really want to say something about it, but I'm not going to because I don't want to promise something I can't deliver. And I've already done that today without an interview. I actually thought I had a couple of the athletes from the Rogue River High School were going to come in and talk today, but they weren't able to do that today either. And with spring break, this is the way things go. And as I told one of the folks that I've been talking to about coming on the show, I said, I'll probably book all five of those interviews next week. And that's okay. It's a good problem to have in this business because it, sometimes it's nice to have a little backup. So that's how things are going there. And of course, in my regular life, I work in landscape maintenance. I'm self-employed, and we had a big day of spreading bark today. So I am covered in bark dust, and I probably don't smell too good either. But as I told my son on the way out the door, that's the beauty of radio. If I don't have a guest, I don't have to look good. I don't necessarily have to smell good. I just have to hopefully sound good. And, well, we already know that that's not going to happen. So I'm in good shape today. So let's take a look at some of the different things we've got in news to take a look at. And again, if you hear me shuffling the papers, I apologize, but I've got this studio covered in papers spread out here, there, and everywhere, and we'll see if I can keep track of what's been going on. And again, a couple of these stories are a week old, but they're still, you know, good information that you may want to know. But because we didn't have a show last week, I wanted to cover some things that may not be fresh news, but definitely worth talking about. So in Rogue River news, former Rogue River Police Department K-9 officer Nate Stoller, who resigned under some pressure from the city, was found not guilty of charges of domestic assault. And of course, that was the reason he resigned, that he was on paid administrative leave and because of the charges that were against him, but he was found not guilty. Now, he won't be coming back to the Rogue River Police Department at this time. His K-9 position was filled by Officer Chris Hansen, and the department is currently fully staffed. And City Manager Mark Regals said that even had there been an opening, that Officer Staller would have had to gone back through the entire hiring process, that now that's because of the resignation. Had he been on paid administrative leave and stayed as that, you know, in that condition or as that, you know, status, I believe he would have been able to come back, assuming that they left a position open for him. I'm sure there's lots of rules and stuff that goes along with that, but I don't, obviously don't know all of those. But so Officer Staller was found not guilty, but won't be returning to the Rogue River Police Department. And as I pointed out when I originally reported that story, and I'll point it out again here for this next story. When we talk about these cases, if someone is arrested and someone is charged with a crime, they are still innocent until proven guilty. They have to be proven guilty in a court of law. And fortunately for Officer Staller, and I believe I made this distinction originally when I reported the story, it's good that we point that out because he was found not guilty. And, you know, without getting into that case, there was a lot of discrepancies in the prosecution's case and in the charges from his wife, I believe will be his former wife. They've filed for divorce. But it's important to know that just because someone is arrested and charged does not mean they're guilty. It does mean that there's some evidence pointing toward their possible guilt, but it doesn't mean they're guilty. Now, this second story is a more sensitive to me as far as because it involves a high school student. The student is 18 years old, so they are considered an adult, which is why we know their name. And again, I want to stress, because there's been a lot of things going around on both sides of this story, I'm not here to give my opinion even on guilt or innocence or the validity of the charges. But I think it's important to report it, especially because this show, we cover a lot of things to do with the high school. And unfortunately, this is a sad story. But a young man, 18-year-old Daniel Cooley, was arrested. Daniel's a high school senior at Rogue River High School. He's also a junior firefighter for the Evans Valley Fire District, and he has been arrested on multiple sexual assault charges. And so it's a sad thing. I don't like to have to report something like that. And I don't know this young man, and I will make no judgment on this one way or the other, except to tell you again that everyone that is arrested and charged is still innocent until proven guilty. So let's remember that. And the reason I'm kind of stressing that a little bit is there was a lot of things going around on social media back and forth about this case. There's been some talk about the Nate Staller case. There was a letter to the editor in one of the newspapers or one of the Rogue River Press's recent issues. There was a letter to the editor defending Officer Staller. So again, until things are resolved in these cases, and even in the case of Officer Staller's, it's been resolved, or it's come to its completion, I still have no commentary on that one way or the other, because I don't have any of the other facts other than what I can read in the local media. I don't know anything about this. And again, I don't like to see some of the things that go back and forth on social media. I don't think it's healthy. In fact, that's part of what I may be talking about later on in the show today, is kind of getting past some of the way we communicate with social media and trying to maybe find a way to be more civil to one another. And I've talked about it before, when we talked about the recent push for more gun control and looking at some of the other factors that go into that, like, for instance, the Parkland shooting. There's so many other factors than just the gun control part of it, but that is an important part of it. And so we've talked about that. And as kind of a closure to that last, episode that where I was talking about some of those different things, one of the things I touched on was that, you know, we as a people need to learn to be respectful. And I was kind of reminded of that. This is kind of a weird place to be reminded of that, but I was reminded of it from an interview with Roseanne Barr and her recent the revival of her TV show. And so I want to talk about that a little bit, but let's get back to the news and cover the rest of these stories. So in some lighter news and some happy news for some elementary school students, Levi Rolfe won the Rogue River Elementary School Spelling Bee. The final word of the bee was a repertoire, and apparently clear speaking is not in my repertoire. And Jonathan Tuohy was second, and Abigail Clifford was third. So congratulations to all of the students that participated in the elementary school spelling bee, and especially to the winner, Levi Rolfe. Now, another subject we often talk about here on Rogue Talk and is probably become one of my favorite subjects would be the Rogue River FFA chapter. And they were off to state convention. And at state convention, the Rogue River FFA had 7 members earn their Oregon FFA state degrees. And I'm sure at some time we'll have someone back here from the FFA and we can talk more about that and what that means. Cause I'll plead ignorance on this one. I'm learning more and more about FFA every time I have those wonderful young folks from the Rogue River chapter on the show, but I still have a lot to learn. But these 7 students earned their Oregon FFA state degrees: Nolan Barnwell, Andy Herrinks, Steffi Herrinks, Amber Cripps, Annabelle Lee, Laura Howard, and Zoe Reeder. So congratulations to all of those Rogue River students for achieving that state degree from the Oregon FFA. Now, a story I've been waiting to talk about, and again, this will be another story where I will have to plead some ignorance. Now, it's a funny thing because I was talking to an old friend of mine from my high school days who is into equestrian sports very heavily, always has been. She just loves it. She was doing, her and her twin sister were doing equestrian events when her and I were dating back in the day. And I'm still completely ignorant to equestrian events. I admit it. I know a very little bit. I don't frankly know a whole lot about horses, but apparently we have a couple of local participants in the Rogue River Equestrian Program, and I'm just going to read some of these events and the way that these folks have done, and hopefully you all know more about this than I do, and maybe at some point as the season goes on, we can find out some more about these things, but I definitely wanted to recognize them. And these two students are Carly Ledoux, and I hope I'm saying that right, I think I am, who is a freshman at Rogue River Junior Senior High School, and Bretta Davis is a sophomore at Rivers Edge Academy Charter School here in Rogue River. And let's just take a look at some of their accomplishments in their second equestrian meet of the season held at the Jackson County Expo. Let's see there. Boy, there's a lot of events here, and let's see what we had going on. Rogue River and Illinois Valley combined to participate in as a drill team, and they place sixth in the freestyle fours. And again, I'm not going to explain any of these to you because I don't know, but I'm more than happy to know that a lot of you out there probably know a lot more about equestrian than I do, and so you'll definitely recognize all of this. The girls also placed in the top 10 in-hand obstacle relay. And then Bretta teamed up with two athletes from Illinois Valley and one from Hidden Valley to make a team versatility, and they placed 14th. Carly teamed up with three athletes from Grants Pass to make a team versatility, and they placed 10th. Carly placed third in dressage. Now, I know a little bit about dressage. I that was the one thing I did know a little about. And that third place finish will qualify her for state in that event. And I guess they have what they call a 1-2-3 rule. Get a first, second, or third place in the same event in 2 out of 3 meets, and that qualifies you for state. So that will help qualify Carly for state. She also placed 18th in hunt seat. Bretta placed 15th in hand trail. She also placed 18th in showmanship. In trail, Bretta was 15th. Carly was 9th. In Western horsemanship, Bretta was 9th. Carly was 8th. Working rancher, unfortunately, Bretta was disqualified, and Carly placed 10th. And just a final note, there are 5 schools in the small school category, and the Rogue River team is currently in 3rd place with 186 points. And their third and final meet is the district meet coming up on April 27th through the 29th, and that will be at the Expo. So big congratulations to these two young ladies from Rogue River, and we wish you great success in the districts, and we hope to hear how that goes for all of you, or for both of you, I should say. So let's look at some other sports. And again, our news and sports taking up a little extra time today, and which is fine with me. I love kind of shining a light on all the great things that our youth are doing, whether it's the spelling bee or the FFA or all of the different sports. So Rogue River alum Cole Watson recently won the Chuckanut 50K in Bellingham, Washington. And in fact, he ran so well that he was 5.5 minutes ahead of the second place runner in that event. And Cole Watson will next compete in an ultra marathon 74K, and this will be over in the Canary Islands. So, you know, Cole is now a professional runner. He runs for Hoka 11, which is a shoe company, and he's just been, I mean, since he left high school, but even since he left the University of Oregon, he has just really found his niche in these big, you know, these really long races, ultra marathons. He really thrives at these races where there's a lot of elevation change. In fact, this race, I don't know what the elevation change was, but they get as high as 5,000 feet. So, you know, that's some serious running at that. We probably talked about it here at the end of last track season for the high school. The district meet for track and field was held in Lakeview, and Lakeview has a pretty strong track and field team to begin with, and the Rogue Talk mascot, of course, runs distance, and that running that event at Lakeview gives a really big advantage to those runners because they train at that altitude all the time, and for the lower altitude runners to go there and compete there, they really are at a bit of a disadvantage. And But when it comes to altitude, it seems that Cole Watson has just become one of the best in the world, really, of of running these high altitude and changing altitude races. So good job to Cole, and we'll continue to follow his exploits. Now moving over to Chieftain baseball and softball. The softball team hasn't played actually since last week, and they unfortunately lost 13-6 in a rain-shortened game against the Phoenix Pirates. They were trailing, and I don't have the box score in front of me, but I believe they only had one or two runs going into that last inning, and it was kind of a controversial thing. It was the sixth inning. They ended up not playing the seventh because of the field conditions, but going into that sixth inning, it started to rain really hard, and the Chieftains were on defense to start the inning, and they played in some pretty rough conditions, and they managed to keep the score at 13, not give up any more runs in that sixth inning. And then they scored some runs in the bottom of the sixth, but there was a lot of, upset folks mainly on the Phoenix side. The Phoenix coach, in fact, was asked by the umpire to stop, to be quiet. I'll say it as nicely as I can, because they were complaining about the conditions. And really what the difference was is the pitcher for the Pirates was getting frustrated because she is a particularly hard thrower, and the wet conditions make it much more tougher, much more difficult for when someone throws with that kind of pace, when the ball slips out, it tends to end up in the dirt or hitting the backstop quite a bit more often. Lizzie Atterbury, the pitcher for the Chieftains, is more of a finesse pitcher, doesn't throw quite as hard, and so it didn't affect her as much. But they played under the same conditions, and actually it started to get better toward the end of that inning. So the complaints of the Pirates were stopped by the umpire, and the inning was finished, and the Pirates still won the game, and they did not play the seventh. The field conditions at that point were really pretty lousy, even though the rain had lightened up considerably. So they lost that game 13-6. That was a week ago, or a little over a week ago. And Chieftain baseball played their last game this last Monday, and they were up against 4A Sutherland and lost 17-1 in what unfortunately was a pretty error-filled game. The Chieftain defense really struggled on Monday. We had that game right here on the bridge, and unfortunately they just really a lot of early errors gave the Bulldogs a pretty good lead, and they just built on that as the game went along. So both the Chieftain teams are now sporting a 1-1 record, which is not very many games, but because of all the weather and other issues, that's all they've been able to get in. In fact, Sutherland was playing their sixth game on Monday, while the Chieftains were playing only their second. So a lot of games to be played. Don't know how many will actually get made up. A lot of these preseason games, they just get canceled and they don't make them up. But we'll see what happens heading into the season, and later in the show we'll give you the schedule of the upcoming events for the Chieftain teams. Now let's take a look at golf. The Rogue River golf team, the boys team, was third at Centennial Golf Club in the Cascade Christian Invitational. And the top duo for Rogue River was Evan Mingerhausen and James Gordon. And they tied for second in it with a combined 74. And this was a two-person best ball competition. So each team had multiple teams of two, and they played best ball. And for those of you that don't play golf, you play off of the best shot each time. So you both tee off, whoever has the best shot, you play off of their ball, and each time you're going to the best shot of the two of you. And so they scored a 74, which was tied for second. And the Chieftain team was third overall. Now on the girls' side, they were the best of the only two teams that had two duos. So you needed more than that to compete in the complete team competition. But of the two teams that only had two duos, the Chieftains were bested the Hidden Valley squad. And competing for the girls, Sophia Woodall and Catherine Gordon were the top duo for the Chieftains with a combined score of 97. And I'm going to run out of breath here, so I have some more sports news that we're going to get to, but I think I'm going to take a quick break, and we will come back with more sports and more, so don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The widow of the gunman who killed 49 people in an Orlando nightclub has walked out of jail after she was acquitted of federal charges hours earlier. Noor Salman left the building around 1 p.m. this afternoon, about 2 hours after a jury found her not guilty of helping her husband commit the Pulse nightclub attack and lying to the FBI. The UN Security Council has called an emergency meeting to discuss deadly clashes in Gaza between Palestinians and Israeli troops. Kuwait requested the closed Security Council session scheduled for this evening. Thousands of Palestinians urged on by Hamas marched to Gaza's border with Israel on Friday, and 15 were killed by Israeli fire. Troubles brewing for coffee lovers in California, where a judge on Thursday ruled that sellers must post scary warnings about cancer risks. But some scientists and available evidence suggest a daily cup of joe doesn't pose a health risk. This is SRN News.
A radio station where community matters. 94.3 The Bridge.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and normally the sports would be playing right now, but apparently the sports wasn't ready to play, so we are back live on the air. And before I continue with more of the sports news that I had to talk about, I do want to give a little shout out to Corey Hamilton. Corey was nice enough to provide me with the information on the equestrian events that we talked about, and I just want to give her a shout out for helping me at least be able to report that, even though I can't tell you too much else about it. So moving back to some more Chieftain sports, the track team has also been competing, and they've had a couple of meets that they've been to, and I wanted to take a look at some of the highlights. And my notes are not real good on this, so you'll have to bear with me, but I do know that the Rogue Talk mascot, also known as Cameron Smith, also known as my son, won the 3,000 meters at a meet in Brookings, the Brookings Harbor Icebreaker. That was back on March 20th, and I would have to check the website again, but at last check, he was still holding down the top spot in the 3A in the state for the 3,000. Now, that's not his PR, and that time probably won't hold up much longer. What usually happens in this early part of the season is a lot of the distance guys don't run the 3,000 very often. They start to mix that in as the season goes on. And that's not to take anything away from Cameron. He ran a really good time. Not his PR, not his best time ever. He ran that last year, but a very good time. But that time will soon be eclipsed, and the times will be under the 10, Well, he was at 10 minutes 4.66 seconds, and those times will drop under 10 as more meets are run. But at last check, he was still at the top of the state rankings for 3A. So that's a great accomplishment. Carson Smith, no relation to Cameron. Carson last year qualified for state in the javelin and pole vault, and he was second in the long jump with a jump of 18.1 at that same meet. Carson also competes in some of the running events, including the 4x100, and the Chieftains finished fourth in that 4x100 in that meet. And then back last Friday, the Chieftains went to the St. Mary's Relays, and the top finish for the Chieftains in the relay, the St. Mary's Relays, was their sprint medley relay. And a sprint medley, if you don't know, and actually they can be different, but the format that they ran at this event is a back-to-back 100s, and then a 200, and then a 400. So basically the total race is two laps around the track with four different runners. And we'll see if I can get this right from memory, because I don't have it in front of me. Diego Agosto started the race running the first 100. Justin Cook ran the second 100. Aiden Norris took the baton to run the 200, and then Carson Smith finished with the 400, and it was a good, strong race. In fact, if you'd like to watch that race, it's not the best video because I wasn't able to zoom in the way I would normally like to when filming a track meet, but that is available on the Rogue Talk Facebook page. There's a few videos there from last week's event, and so you can go and watch those on the Rogue Talk Facebook page. And also, Cameron also ran in that he was slated to run the distance medley and what they call the, let me see if I can get this right, the Devil Takes the Hind Mile, and I'm leaving a word out, but but the gist of it is they have somebody dressed up as a devil, and every lap of the mile race, which is a four lap race, the person in the back of the pack, the last place person on that lap, gets removed from the race. So what happens is if you have anybody challenging you at the end of a lap, you tend to have to kind of sprint at the end of that lap to stay out of last place. And so it becomes a different type of race than a regular mile. And it tends to wear you out a little bit more because you're kind of running back-to-back 400s instead of running an actual normal mile pace. Well, Cameron managed to stay in the race. He didn't get taken out by the devil, but he finished fourth in that race with a pretty good time. But it was the first time, and he had participated in one of those events, and he definitely was feeling the results of that of doing that for the first time after that race, but he was still gunning and ready to go for the distance medley. Unfortunately, they couldn't put a team together of healthy and willing runners, so he didn't get to run that. But there was a lot of good competitors in all those races, and the track team is really starting to figure things out as far as who's going to do what events and all of that. And of course, Cameron will continue doing the 1500 and the 3000. He's hoping to make state this year. He missed state by one position in the 3000 last year, so he's hungry to get that spot and get to state. And so we're rooting for him and all of the other Chieftains. So before I start boring you all with more of my opinions, I want to give you a chance. If you want to call in, that number is 541-299-0498. 541-299-0498. And I'd love to hear from you if you have anything you want to talk about, whether it's about things going on in Rogue River. Maybe you have an athlete that you'd like to give a shout out to from the high school or the middle school or even the elementary school. And I'm sure there's events that I miss and I don't get to cover on Rogue Talk. I try my best to find as many things to pull from to talk about. But so again, if you'd like to call in, or maybe you've got some opinions about what I'm about to talk about. And again, I don't have a lot of time today to talk about it, and I've given some of my opinions on this, but I see a real problem with the way we talk to one another and the way we communicate. And again, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but one of the things about social media that has become a real negative in our society, from my perspective, is it puts up that digital wall where you feel emboldened to say things that you wouldn't necessarily say if you were talking to someone face to face. And I've mentioned my disdain for Twitter. I really don't care for that platform at all. It's become what I consider a cesspool of you know, really hate. You have a lot of people hiding behind fake profiles that don't even have a picture. The names are, you know, some of them are interesting and they're crazy and that, but they allow these people to basically be anonymous. And there's a lot of hate spewed. And again, I don't want to blame everything on social media, but I think it's a big part of what, of just an overall societal shift that I've seen in the last several years, many years. You know, and again, we can go back to the school shootings, and I was in high school back in the 80s, and we didn't worry about such things. Now, there were, and again, I'm not trying to make this a gun issue, but I'm going to make a point here. There were lots of guns around. In fact, certain places, not where I went to school, we didn't have a shooting team, but a lot of schools had shooting teams, and the kids would bring their rifles to school for practice. And, you know, I mean, some schools even had a range right at the school. So not that we don't need to have serious discussions about gun safety and gun regulations and those kinds of things, because we absolutely do. But it's just a smaller part of a big societal problem. And it's not just mental health issues, but that definitely is something that we have to look at. But I see a bigger societal problem with just the way that we communicate with one another. Now, a lot of us, you know, we may be more impetulant, more quick to react to things when we're younger. And as we get older, we tend to not be quite that way. But that doesn't hold true for everything and every person in every way. I'll give you an example of, I can lose it on the road occasionally, but it's pretty rare at this point. I had someone tell me one time, in fact, I was working in landscape maintenance in California at the time, and most of my work was in a retirement community, and there was a gentleman that I was friends with. He was a customer of our company, but he was someone I talked to quite a bit. And he came home one time while we were there, and he came up to talk to me, and he said, you know, he says, the worst thing happened to me today, and it's just really bugging me. And I says, well, you know, what happened? And He says, I cut somebody off in traffic and they drove around me, but they didn't yell at me or shake a fist or show me their IQ or any of that. They just drove by slowly and just kind of looked at me and then looked down and just kind of shook their head. He goes, that was the most demeaning thing I have ever been through. He says, I would have rather that he yelled at me and gave me the finger and all of those things. He says, it felt so bad. The just the disgust on this other driver's face. And I kind of took that to heart, and not to try and shame people, but I use it as a defense for myself. Instead of getting angry and honking and driving around them and cutting them off or whatever kind of stupid thing I would have done as a younger person, I just try and employ that same strategy. And again, it's not so much to shame the other person. It's more to keep me from doing something stupid, which is what I did for many years. What a lot of us have done is when we were younger drivers. And unfortunately, some of us still behave that way. But to me, it's sort of that sort of change in my life. To me, it kind of parallels the change we've seen in society, in that we've just become very hateful people that don't know how to communicate with one another. We don't know how to argue respectfully. And again, I'll take it back to the best way to kind of study this is looking at social media. You can see people that will argue constructively. I mean, I'm a very conservative person. I'm a constitutional conservative, meaning I get accused of being a right winger, but I'm not really sure what that means. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the rights that are given to us in the Constitution. And I believe that we should, as a federal government, we should only be spending money in the enumerated ways that it's spelled out in the Constitution. And I mean, that's a discussion that could take a whole show. But basically, there's nothing radical about being a constitutionalist. Now, on the social side, of course, you have some constitutionalists that are more socially liberal. I happen to be fairly socially conservative, but I don't often argue social issues on the basis of facts, because most of them are not fact-based. They're emotion-based. There may be facts that drive each person's opinion, but a lot of social issues are more of an emotional thing and not a fact-based thing. So to me, I mean, I'm more than willing to argue a point that I think that my point is valid, and I'm more than happy to back it up. But you have to know the difference between when you're arguing with facts and when you're arguing with opinions or with feelings. And you know that Ben Shapiro, who is a solid conservative host, he's been accused of being alt-right, which, without getting into the definition of that, is really a ridiculous thing. He's, in fact, you know, one of the people he's spoken out the most against would be people from the alt-right, including Milo Yiannopoulos. So he's a conservative. He's been called a Nazi, which is interesting since he's one of the most attacked Jewish people in you know, popular culture. So that, not sure how that fits in there, but anyhow, what he had said that I kind of tend to hold to when I'm arguing and trying to stick with facts is he has said that my facts don't care about your feelings. Now, And I'm not sure exactly the word for word way he said that. And I would leave the my out because they're not my facts. They are the facts. So when you have facts, facts don't care about feelings. They don't care about arguments. They don't. Facts are facts. If you have numbers and other types of facts, they are what they are. Now, you can argue what they mean, but you can't argue the facts themselves. And if you do argue the facts, then your argument becomes very invalid at that point. And so that's something that I'm a strong believer in. Now, growing up, there was about a 2-year period where my mother didn't even want to talk to me because I would argue about anything, and usually with very little information to back up my argument. It was, and I think a lot of us were that way as youths. So believe me, I know the other side of this story. I've always been pretty conservative, but I haven't always been someone who thought out their arguments as much as I do now. But unfortunately, getting kind of back to this fighting, and I'm going to run out of time in this segment, but we fight about these things, and we all, you know, you get into maybe a back and forth on Facebook or somewhere, and all of a sudden someone jumps in with some, you know, hateful comment, and my feeling about that is whether they're on my side of the argument or they're on the other side of the argument, my first reaction to that is, you're not helping. You're, especially if they're on my side of the argument, it's like attacking someone or saying something really stupid or hyperbolic. It doesn't help. It doesn't help the argument. In fact, it hurts the argument. And I've only got a few seconds left in this break, so I'm gonna cut out here, and we will finish up the show in just a bit. So don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The widow of the gunman who killed 49 people in an Orlando nightclub has walked out of jail after she was acquitted of federal charges hours earlier. Noor Salman left the building around 1 p.m. this afternoon, about 2 hours after a jury found her not guilty of helping her husband commit the Pulse nightclub attack and lying to the FBI. The U.N. Security Council has called an emergency meeting to discuss deadly clashes in Gaza between Palestinians and Israeli troops. Kuwait requested the closed Security Council session scheduled for this evening. Thousands of Palestinians urged on by Hamas marched to Gaza's border with Israel on Friday, and 15 were killed by Israeli fire. Troubles brewing for coffee lovers in California, where a judge on Thursday ruled that sellers must post scary warnings about cancer risks. But some scientists and available evidence suggest a daily cup of joe doesn't pose a health risk. This is SRN News.
Radio without all that junk. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. Uber says it has suspended all of its self-driving testing following what is believed to be the first fatal pedestrian crash involving the vehicles. The self-driving testing has been taking place in Phoenix, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, and Toronto. Automakers and tech companies are competing to be the first with the technology. Police in a Phoenix suburb say one of Uber's self-driving vehicles struck and killed a pedestrian Sunday night. The mall chain Claire's has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The company says its stores will remain open as it restructures its debt. Claire's says it's confident it will emerge from bankruptcy protection in September, having reduced its debt by nearly $2 billion. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell over 336 points with business. I'm Dennis Crowley.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And, you know, just to tell you the truth here, I just do this show so I can listen to the bump music. It's, you know, I think it's pretty good. It's of course what they, it's non-licensed music. We at the station here, we can actually play licensed or copyrighted music on over the air, but not over the internet. We don't have the approval for that. It costs a lot more money and able to do that. So on my show, because we put it out as a downloadable episode on the internet and we stream it online during the show, we can't use any of my, you know, favorite music from my youth. Otherwise, you know, we'd have some, you know, maybe some Def Leppard or AC/DC or something like that. Maybe some Prince, but can't do that here. So, but I think it's, you know, I think it's pretty good anyhow. So I just come down so I can listen to that. So just to quickly wrap up what I was talking about, that interview with Roseanne about her show, she pointed out that, you know, and even the show kind of alluded to this, is the show, the family has differing views, but they still were able to work together. There's a lot of jokes in there, but they were able to work together through these views. And that was kind of the point that she was trying to make there. So I think that's something that's, you know, pretty useful for all a society as a whole, that we need to learn to communicate better with one another. And so I hope we can achieve that. Well, I sure hope that I'm right, that I'm going to have an interview or interviews next week. A quick look at the baseball and softball. The baseball team is at North Valley tomorrow, noon and 2 o'clock. The game times for softball have changed. Those games are at home at 1 and 3. We'll have those here on 94.3 The Bridge. So be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com. We'll be right back.